720 WGN. It is Dane in for Anna de Blatz until 4 here high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio and on the line with us, something that, of course, is on everybody's mind, even with everything else going on, is the pandemic, the vaccine, everything. You just become numb to it. And I was talking with my wife earlier this last week, and the numbers, as far as hospitalizations are through the roof, the deaths are higher than ever, and you become so numb to it. And I know the people, on the front lines are having to deal with more and more. And now, of course, you've got the vaccine built into it. We've got Eric Liotta. He is a neurocritical care specialist at Northwestern. Doctor, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thanks for having me, Dane.
So you're on the COVID-19 ICU. You're doing research on the virus. And so you're right here, not only just, in a laboratory somewhere, but right here in Illinois with us. And is this, even though the situation with the virus has been so different as far as how people either are approaching it or how they feel about it or even how they're handling the situations, whether it's with the people or with the businesses or even on the medical side. So for you personally here on the front lines here in Illinois, how has it been with the vaccine? Obviously, everyone's excited about the positive news that they exist, but what do you see as far as the progress on the rollout?
I think it's, you'll probably hear from other people than just me. It's been slower than I think people wanted and slower than expected. Some of that is because it's probably a huge logistical burden, but, I think a lot of the things that were happening in the news over the last year leading up to getting the vaccines have caused some people to have some doubts about them, and that may be slowing down the vaccination as well. I myself got my first dose the end of December, and I'll be getting my second dose next week, and I really didn't have anything other than a sore arm for a couple hours. I'm so far doing okay, and we'll go about getting the second dose.
In the medical...
I think it's going to be part of the overall approach to getting this pandemic under control.
In the medical community, when you talk for, the colleagues and peers about whether it's the vaccine itself, how efficient it may be at combating the virus, or whether it's the side effects or any of those things that are happening on social media and certainly and even on the news, there's so much, I don't want to say misinformation, but just a variety of alternate possibilities on what's happening and what's not. There are people out there, from what seems like, at least they're coming from a position of legitimacy that talk about that there's a chip that's going to track you, or that there's huge side effects, or that there's this. If you can kind of clear the air from the medical community, you guys don't see any of that. Certainly there's going to be cases where there will be side effects and where there will be people that have issues with it. That's just the nature of anything like this. But in general, it's been pretty well received, right?
Yeah, there's no one in the medical community that's concerned about, tracking chips in the vaccine. And I think with any medical therapy that you have, there's always side effects associated with it. And it seems from reading the source literature that was published on this vaccine that the side effects are pretty similar to what we see with other types of vaccines, like the flu vaccine, every year. So I don't know that there's any reason to be particularly more concerned about this vaccine than others. I think we live in an era right now where it's very difficult to know what sources to believe. And I think before you really process information, you have to be really, and this goes beyond just the pandemic, really careful about where that information is coming from, if there's a reason the person who's portraying it might have bias. And I think really go to the root of the facts. And I think when you go to the root data about this vaccine, you'll see that there's no, we don't have any evidence right now to be more concerned about it than any of the other vaccines we have. But you do have to acknowledge that the vaccine hasn't been around that long. So, we don't have years of observations.
From the state perspective, and no state has been immune, no pun intended, from what's happening with the pandemic, but different states are just more capable or more equipped or just in a better position or a different position to be able to handle certain things. Florida, I guess they've got a lot of beds, and so they haven't had they haven't been overrun with patients as much as, let's say, California, surprisingly, right? Because it's one of our most populous states, if not the most. specialist, and they just don't have the infrastructure there to be able to handle all of the patients that they're being hit with right now. From an Illinois perspective, I just feel like we've done pretty well. You know, you haven't heard certainly a lot of concern, but not the level of panic that some of these news reports coming out of California display. And so from your perspective, being here, are we in a decent position to be able to handle a bigger surge? Have we, based on the fact that we've been maybe more shut down than other states, are we in a better position, or is this something that we're, I know we're worried about it, but are we in a good place to go ahead and handle whatever you could foresee coming down the road?
Well, you know, I don't have access to all the information about what our redundant resources are in the hospitals and the ICU. How I might answer that is that we were preparing for something much worse than what we're seeing, currently. But I would also urge people that, you know, things can change, really quickly. And, something that's on the right track can quickly get off, that track if, you know, people become lax. You know, I think we're seeing there's that new variant that's circulating right now, and if people get lax with that, the way viruses work, if they happen to be more infectious, that is it causes an exponential increase in the number of people that become sick, even if the virus the variant has the same mortality rate. So now is not a time to be lax. You know, I think the vaccine is very encouraging, but we've you know dealt with this for a year, and I think we now have some rays of hope at the end of it, and that this isn't the time to lighten up, because then it could kind of be all our hard work for the last year could really be undone.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Dr. Eric Liotta. He is in the COVID-19 ICU unit over at Northwestern and joining us. And just as we don't know a lot about the vaccines and exactly, you know, what may happen down the road, of course, we've got some confidence. The virus itself has been, it's just been a mystery, too. And there's, I don't want to say misinformation, but a variety of things, everything from it's just the flu to some of these just mysterious, you know, different ways that it manifests itself in its victims, you know, that go far outside of what a typical flu. So we wanted to ask you before we let you go, what are some of the things on the medical side that you're seeing, whether it's brain damage or other organs that that COVID-19 attacks?
Yeah, so my specialty is in neurologic ICU management. And I would say this virus is not like the typical flu. I have not seen this level of people with brain injury and dysfunction from the regular flu. We're also seeing even patients who weren't hospitalized, we started to collect evidence at Northwestern that they have problems with fatigue and with their cognition and their quality of life. That's just not what I would expect from, you know, this misinformation that, oh, COVID is just like a regular flu. I think there's a lot of evidence from different avenues that suggests that it's not, and that in particular the neurological consequences of this virus are quite different than the flu, and maybe something that we're dealing with even when the infection rates are coming under better control.
There has been talk of that fog that people are in, or just, you know, cognitive issues or dizziness, or just not being able to think completely straight, and that stretches on for months at a time. So it isn't even part of really what you would factor into the initial infection. It does happen. Have you guys started to think about some ways to handle that? Maybe, you know, whether it's just treatments for what would be the side effects from COVID-19, or are we nowhere near even there yet? We're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. You know, right now we have some hypotheses on potential treatments. The issue is we have patients we've seen in our clinic and in the hospital that we know have worse quality of life and cognition than we would expect them to have, that we really do believe that there is something to this brain fog phenomenon. But we don't know how many people who get the COVID-19 infection end up with this brain fog. You know, we don't know what they call the denominator is in the equation. But we have seen patients who have quite significant cognitive difficulties and fatigue after a COVID infection where they didn't even really require to be even in the hospital. So these are people who are, you know, recovering at home, and they're having cognitive issues. But we right now don't know how common that is. But it's common enough that we're seeing a lot of those patients in our clinic, and we're able to measure the difficulties that we have, which is where we're at right now in trying to get a handle on what this condition is. And after that, really, once you have a scope of the idea of the problem and the factors that predict what people have the problem, that really will guide the hypotheses about treatment.
Yep, you can't solve a problem unless you know one exists, and you guys are on top of it. I want to let the listeners know that this segment has been sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care, and Dr. Eric Liotta. Can't thank you enough for all that you guys are doing on the front lines here in Illinois and over at Northwestern, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Great. Thank you very much, Shane.